America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
It can be a scary time when you get the phone call from your doctor that your test came back indicating that you have gestational diabetes. However, there are many things that you can do to control your diabetes and still have a healthy, happy pregnancy. I'm Dr. Franco Cochea, and today we're talking about how to manage your blood sugars when you have been diagnosed with gestational diabetes. This is Peggy Pals, episode 100.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant and I have to exercise.
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit.
I've got kinkles.
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Preggy Pals is your weekly online on-the-go support group for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Annie Laird. And it's episode 100 today. Woohoo! As my oldest daughter would say, pop the roof. I don't know what that means.
It's like raise the roof.
Raise the roof. Pop. Yeah, I guess pop the roof. Yeah, pop the roof. Woohoo! Episode 100. So if you haven't joined our Preggy Pals Club, then you're missing out on exclusive bonus interviews after each show, transcripts, and also special giveaways and discounts. See our website, www.preggypals.com, for more information. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Preggy Pals app, and that's available both in the Android and the iTunes marketplace. And you can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter. Now our producer, Samantha, is going to tell us more about the virtual panelist program.
Thanks, Annie. If you do not live in San Diego, but you'd like to be a panelist on our show, you can still participate through our virtual panelist program. Simply like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter using hashtag PreggyPalsVP. We'll post questions throughout the week prior to our taping, and we'd love for you to comment so we can incorporate your thoughts into our episode. You can also submit your questions directly to our experts. Learn more about our virtual panelist program through the community section on our website.
Thanks, Samantha. Well, let's go around the table here, introduce ourselves and the panelists that we have in the studio today. I'm Annie. I'm 35, government contractor during the day, panelist.
Rock star host and producer by
exactly.
Weekend.
Yeah, by weekend. That's what I do. And early in the morning, I was on the Fox show for the mocktails, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I have three kids, three little girls, crazy busy all the time, but we have a great time. So
you want me?
Yeah.
All right. I'm Sunny. I am actually the owner of New Mommy Media, which produces this show, as well as Parent Savers, The Boob Group, and Twin Talks. I am a mommy of four kids, and my oldest is about 3.5 years old. My middle guy is about to enter his terrible twos. He's flirting around with the terribleness right now. And then I have identical twin girls who are about 5 months old.
I said this is the first time they're not in the studio since they were
crazy,
born.
Crazy.
I know. It's so quiet in here.
I know. I'm actually much less stressed when they're not around.
Yeah,
well, I do miss them.
Yeah, when they were first born, I think it's a lot easier because they're so sleepy.
Yeah.
But they were starting to definitely get into their, we're awake.
And where's mama? And
So. There's milk around here somewhere. There's going to be lactating females around here.
Right.
Anyways. So, Erin, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Erin. I am 36. I have to think about that. I just had a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I am a nurse, and I had my little man September 2nd on Labor Day. I think he was playing a joke on me.
That's
like,
awesome.
I'm going to make my mom labor on Labor Day.
Uh-huh.
He is our first, and as far as the type of birth we had, awesome midwife birth hospital setting. It was
cool.
Fabulous.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, today on Preggy Pals, we are going to be looking over an app. This is free, as most of them are that we do our app reviews on the iTunes Marketplace, and it's called Baby Countdown. And that's pretty much, I'm looking at it right now on my phone. That's pretty much what it is. So you can go on here. You can do a count up or a countdown. So you can, I guess you can do a count up if you want to set the date to whatever your baby's first birthday is, or if you want to do a countdown to D-Day, to delivery day of your baby, you can do that as well. So it's very cute. There's a little baby cake and then some baby shoes on top, and says, until my bundle of joy comes. And I put in here a client of mine. I'm a labor doula. I guess I forgot to mention that in a so this gives me 24 days, 1 hour, 31 minutes and 20 seconds until my client goes into labor.
That might be helpful for you, actually.
Yeah,
to
maybe.
Know that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
So I mean, I guess that's helpful of going, okay, when's my next client due? But I guess the downside of it is, you know, unless you're getting induced, you're having, you know, a C-section on a certain day.
Right.
Who knows? Well, you didn't know when your twins were coming.
No.
You thought you were going, you're like, I'm going to 37 weeks.
Yeah.
And
that app wouldn't have really helped me too much. Although, you know, I will say the more kids that you have, the more the dates all become confusing and, you know, how many weeks pregnant am I and all this kind of stuff. So this is a really simple app. I mean, I actually didn't set it up, but I'm assuming it just asked you for your due date in the beginning and that was it. And then up came a clock.
Yeah. You could put in here. Let me go here to the settings here. So I can put in a date and time. So I put in a certain time, but who knows? I mean, you know, like I said, who knows when baby is coming?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you could do that for, you know, when my child's next birthday is coming.
Right.
Which with more children, you kind of lose track. I mean, I lost track of my toddler the other day. So she walks out of the store and a security guard, how embarrassing is this? So I'm shopping. I tell the oldest, watch her. And she's watching Frozen, which of course turns her into like a school age zombie, I guess, kind of.
Yeah.
And a security guard comes in with my toddler and is like, whose baby is this? Mom in the ear right here. I'm like, that's my baby. She's like, she was playing in the alley.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So that little off topic there. That's nothing to do with the app, but I mean, the point is you lose track of stuff, including your children when you have multiple children.
So it's nice because it's just a single screen, pops up, count down, count up, whatever you want. So I guess if, you know,
it's free.
Can you change the background at all? And it looked like it had like a little baby cake or something.
Let me see. Although here, phrases. Until my bundle of joys comes, until my baby is born, until my sweetie pie arrives. Aww.
So those are all phrases that can be on the screen, right?
And then you could update to premium, but then they type your own phrases. Multiple countdowns.
But it really is just about the countdown. I know a lot of these apps have like kit counters and contraction timers and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it really is about the countdown for this.
Yeah. Aaron, what do you think about it? You just saw it.
Yeah. I think it's really simple. And the only thing is if it's showing a piece of cake, and our discussion today is on gestational diabetes. Might not be the best thing.
May not be the best if you have gestational diabetes. That's why I said, can you change the background at all?
Well, I'm trying. I don't know. I'm. Oh, here we go. Photos. Aw, baby feet.
Okay, so you can do multiple things.
That's so cute.
So some minor modifications, just to kind of tailor it to your style.
Yeah.
But it's all about the countdown. I mean, you know, if that's all you want from it and you just know, you just go, you know, go to this one place on your phone and you can find it instantaneously, I don't have a problem with that. And it's free. I don't think you can really go wrong if it's free. So I would recommend it. I give it a thumbs up.
Sure, I give it a thumbs up too. What about you, Erin?
Yeah, easy.
All right, three thumbs up. Today we're talking about gestational diabetes and some practical things you can do to keep your blood sugar at the right level. Joining us today as our expert is Dr. Goicoechea.
That's excellent.
Okay. All right, great. In addition to caring for his patients at Sharp Grossmont Hospital, he has previously served as the hospital's OBGYN department chairman. Dr. Goicoechea, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, let's just start off with, what is gestational diabetes and what makes it different from traditional diabetes?
Well, a woman who's pregnant, who has never had diabetes, and who has very high levels of sugar or glucose during the pregnancy, that would be considered somebody diagnosed with gestational diabetes.
Okay. So you could be totally not have diabetes before the pregnancy and then be diagnosed with diabetes. I take it that once the pregnancy ends, that it goes away generally?
You're correct. If you don't have diabetes before the pregnancy and you have it during the pregnancy itself, that's the gestational diabetes.
Okay.
When the pregnancy ends, unfortunately, there's a 20% risk of the women with gestational diabetes may end up having diabetes later on.
Oh, wow.
So it's later on in life? But it could go away right after you have the baby, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. But you could.
But they're at high risk for 20% having it. So it's important that they follow afterwards with evaluations to make sure the sugar is not continue going up.
Oh, wow.
And be treated properly then.
Yeah. So what causes the increased blood sugar in the first place?
We don't know exactly. We do get some clues. We think that the placenta produces a lot of hormones and products that make the baby grow. Mm-hmm. These same compounds can actually affect or cause insulin resistance on the mother, meaning that these products cause the insulin in the mother not to be as effective. And for the mother to have the same metabolism of the sugar in their body, we need sometimes about three more times as much insulin as you would normally require.
Mm-hmm.
So because you cannot produce so much, that's why your levels go up high.
Oh, okay. Now, what are the kind of symptoms that you would have of gestational diabetes if it got out of control?
Actually, at the beginning, you don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we diagnose or rather screen everybody in the pregnancy.
Okay.
There is no symptoms. In people who have, adults who have onset diabetes, require insulin, we know that they have become very thirsty. They are go to the bathroom very frequently because of the high sugars in the urine. But they usually, you do not see that early in pregnancy.
Yeah. I was going to say, wow, going to the bathroom pretty frequently. I mean, that's
every pregnant woman who have diabetes based on that. So that's why I said that's not why.
Yeah. Now, Aaron, you said that you got tested for it, and I know that during my pregnancies, I always got tested for it, like the 28 weeks, you know, where you drink the kind of the orange crush soda, and some women love it, and some women think it's really disgusting, and then you get your blood drawn. But you said you had testing done earlier for it. So what did you have done?
I was tested, and they did the hemoglobin A1C, which essentially measures kind of how your blood sugar levels have been over a period of about 3 months, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And so that was slightly elevated. It put me in this category called pre-diabetic.
No, how pregnant were you when you had that done?
This was my first trimester screening lab work.
Okay.
Yeah, so really early
the
on.
The one where they have like 20 vials of blood all lined up and like, are you afraid of needles? Well, I am now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just during that one was when my level came back slightly elevated, and they said, you have gestational diabetes.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you basically had to do what? Did you have to take insulin or something like that?
No.
Or?
So from that, they then sent you to the educational class, and I'm sure there's probably other moms that have gone through this exact same thing where you go and you meet with the diabetes educator. They tell you about diet and diet modification. They talk about how you do the blood sugar testing after each meal and the time frames and the reporting back to the clinic as far as how you're doing on your blood sugars. So I went through all of that education and started testing my blood sugars and found out that after each meal when I tested, they were absolutely fine. They were within the normal limit every time that I tested. Mm-hmm. So from that, this is my experience, from that I went back and I was like, all my blood sugars are within normal limits. Do I need to continue doing this? And they're like, no, we'll retest you again when you come in for your glucose tolerance test, the orange soda.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, doctor, what kind of, how does gestational diabetes, how would that affect a woman's baby if she was diagnosed with that?
Well, if you diagnose it with it and on time and you treat it properly, you can most likely end up with a normal baby. That's the good part about it, if you diagnose it early, and that's why we encourage all the women to be screened for that.
By normal baby, do you mean like their blood sugar is within normal limits? Or,
correct.
Or size?
Size, not having had any problems later on when they are born, because if the baby is born with on a mother whose diabetes is poorly controlled, they tend to be very big. They tend to be problems with their own sugar, their own calcium. So they have a lot of problems. But the good news about it is that if you diagnose on time and they are treated properly, then most women would have a relatively normal pregnancy, normal delivery, and a nice baby.
Yeah. And I know that was something when I had my first baby, my mother was like, well, they must have misdiagnosed you. You had gestational diabetes. My first baby was 10 pounds, 4 ounces.
But then again, my husband's a big guy, and I'm not exactly petite either. You know, I'm rather tall. So I kind of wonder if that had probably more to do with it than my mother just.
Well,
yeah,
and
you know,
all your babies have been bigger babies too.
They have. I just don't have 6 pound. Yeah, I just don't have 6 pound peanuts. So yeah. Oh well. So and Sunny, you said you were diagnosed. Which of your pregnancies did you have?
Number two. Okay. My first, you know, I passed with flying colors on everything. Never thought, you know, I was ever going to have an issue with it. But my baby was over 9 pounds when he was born, and so for baby number two, you know, right at my first appointment, my first prenatal appointment, they told me I needed to get some blood work to see just because the first baby was bigger. And that came back fine. And then when I went for whatever, the 28, 24 week, then I had one of my levels where it was a little high. So then I had to come back for the 3 hour. And that was questionable. Like it didn't confirm me as gestational diabetes, but they basically said, we need to modify your diet, and we're going to test you again, you know, in 4 or 5 weeks. So when they came back and I had to do that 3 hour test again, then another level was high. And they had forewarned me, listen, most people were, you know, two of their levels are high. Next time we test, it's three, and you're probably going to be classified with having gestational diabetes during this pregnancy. So eventually I was, and I did have to go to all the classes and do all that kind of stuff. But really, I wasn't classified as having gestational diabetes until I was 34 weeks pregnant, and I delivered at 38. So I really didn't have that much experience, you know, time to really, I mean, I did have to change my diet, and I had to test my sugars. I didn't have to, you know, have anything, you know, beyond that. But what I thought was really crazy is that my next pregnancy was twins, and I thought for sure, there's no way that I'm not going to have gestational diabetes.
I remember you talking about that in the studio, like, oh, well, I'm coming up for the test.
Yeah, because I think
once you got over the whole total shock of having twins.
Totally. After, whatever that is, in your first trimester, you know, when you're doing your screening stuff, that came back a little bit high, and I thought, oh, no. You know, I felt like I got away with it much for, you know, baby number two. But I thought, oh, no, this whole pregnancy is going to be gestational diabetes. And they caught it early, so I'm going to be miserable this whole pregnancy.
So I
did the necessary testing and had to do a 3 hour again. And but then it came back fine. So I feel like sometimes they kind of scare you into thinking that if you have it once, you're going to have it with all your kids. That wasn't the case with me.
Yeah. Well, Dr. In your experience, does if a woman has a pregnancy and it is gestational diabetes, for any subsequent pregnancies, is their risk higher that they're going to have it the next time?
It is higher, but this doesn't necessarily mean, as you're saying, that you're going to have it. I think the fact that you already have had it before, what that does is triggers for you to be tested in the first visit. So instead of having the 1 hour glucola test around 22 weeks, we make you go through that, and everybody dislikes that, especially in the first trimester that you have all the nausea, to hit a 1 hour glucola test.
Yeah.
But it is because of that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have it, but you are at a high risk of having it.
Oh, okay. When we come back, we'll talk about how to control your gestational diabetes.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic, and finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about controlling your blood sugar when you've been diagnosed with gestational diabetes. Dr. No, we were talking a little bit in the break here about, has there been like a change of what the tolerance is as far as what level, as far as blood sugar that triggers a diagnosis of gestational diabetes? It sure seems like, and you were mentioning this, Sunny, that over the years, since from like my first pregnancy to now, I hear that diagnosed, it's kind of like with breastfeeding, like tongue tie.
Yeah.
I hear tongue tie all the time now, right. With breastfeeding, and kind of with pregnancy, I hear gestational diabetes a lot more than I did a decade ago with my firstborn. Has there been a change in that, doctor?
Yeah, there seemed to be a change. Several years ago, the breakpoint for that, so to speak, was 135 milligrams of sugar when you do the 1 hour glucola test, slowly coming down to 130. So it's slowly coming down. The thought behind that is that it was felt that by using the higher levels that you're missing some patients who may have had diabetes, gestational diabetes, that is. It's not 100% embraced by everybody, because some people think, well, if you make it so low, they're going to be over-diagnosing, and which is not as good. But in most cases now, in most laboratories, 130, depending on the lab, to 135 still seems to be the baseline level for triggering a 3-hour glucola test.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, as far as possibly being overdiagnosed, I feel like I kind of fell into that category. Mm-hmm. And I think what comes with that, and that we haven't really addressed, is the psychological impact of it, of the fear related to having, you know, going and having gestational diabetes, or I feel like it was very impressed on me that if your diabetes isn't under control, you could have fetal demise. If you're not doing your kick counts, you can have fetal demise. Like, I feel like that came up quite a bit in my education, and it was a bit scary. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, too, like, does that happen to other women? And then how are they dealing with that? You know, and they're monitoring their sugars and they're all fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it can be scary, but I think it's up to us to present that also in a non-threatening way that can be also embraced by the moms, because it's already as stressful as it is.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, how is it treated? Is insulin a normal thing that is moms are put on insulin, or is it all having to do with control of diet and exercise? Mm-hmm.
I think that most of the gestational diabetes, say the first time or even second time, they can be treated by diet and exercise.
Mm, okay.
A few, I don't know, maybe I would say that about 40% or 50 maybe put on oral medication like glyburide, which is the most common use. And a small percentage, 2-3%, perhaps may require insulin. So the number require insulin is relatively small.
Oh, okay. Now, Aaron, what did you do as far as you talked about testing your blood sugar, that it wasn't something that needed to be done in a clinic or anything? You just do that at home.
Yeah, so you do it at home. Yeah. They set you up with the little kit and the meter. They tell you how to do your finger stick. You do it in the morning. You do it, I think it was like 30 minutes after you ate your meal.
Yeah. Did you always use the same spot on your finger?
No.
Yeah.
Ouch. rotate through all your different fingers and back and forth in different little areas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get used to it, and it gets pretty easy, and you get used to writing down everything that you eat.
And they have apps, too, for that.
Yes.
And I actually used an app because that was much more convenient for me to write down my levels. And then it even created, like, little graphs and comparison stuff. So when I went to my OB, you know, and shared that information.
No, my dad has diabetes, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not gestational in nature. he, and God bless my mom. You know, I think that's... that really has worked as far as having your partner on board with controlling the diet. You know, it really has to be that if somebody has diabetes, you can't just have, okay, well, here's the person on the no-fun diabetes diet.
Right.
And then everyone else gets to eat ice cream. You know, I mean, that doesn't work real well, but he uses an app as well, so.
I think it was really eye-opening to me. Like I said, I really didn't have it for that long. At least I wasn't officially classified with it for more than 5 weeks, 6 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
But I still had to go through everything, and I don't know, when I'm pregnant, I like to eat what I want to eat, and for someone to tell me that not only can you not do that, but you can't even eat what, you know, you were normally eating, you know, before you got pregnant and were so hungry. So just stuff like not having regular peanut butter and having to substitute something with less sugar. I'm like, I didn't even know there was a lot of sugar in peanut butter, mm-hmm. you know, and really, really paying attention to what you were eating, I think was the most difficult thing because, like I said, I just wanted to eat everything. And then the finger pricking isn't something that I would like to do for an entire pregnancy.
Yeah.
It's not the most fun thing to do. But I think if we keep in mind that, it, you know, granted, there are people that afterwards that this could turn into something else. But if you keep, you know, in mind that for most people, this is just gestational. It's just when you're pregnant and you it's kind of like breastfeeding. It's like, okay, can I get through the next month? Yes. Okay, can I get through the next
sister,
couple
I'm
months?
Like the next day on breastfeeding. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, but just I think day by day.
I think that's how you have to look at it because mm-hmm. I don't think it's a fun thing. I don't think anyone would say, oh, yeah, it was great. Gestational diabetes.
I'm stoked. I got diagnosed.
I'm the lucky one. Yeah. But it's for your child.
Yeah.
So it's a good reason, obviously.
It's for your baby. So, and doctor, like you were saying, you know, it's a good time to say, hey, this is a good time to watch what you're eating, you know, establish an exercise routine. And speaking of exercise routine, what is something that you would recommend to a mom that has a diagnosis of gestational diabetes? Obviously, they're not going to go and run a marathon, but what kind of exercises would you recommend for them to help control that blood sugar?
Well, I recommend exercise for all pregnant women mm-hmm. to start with, especially we encourage especially women who are diabetic. With gestational diabetes, even doing something like 30 minutes aerobic exercise, walking, swimming, bicycling is very, very important. Not just because the exercise itself increases your insulin levels, efficacy of insulin, so it drops your glucose, that is, there's less need for the medication. But also, if you do a lot of exercise, there is some evidence that you make some endorphin outpouring that makes you feel good. And I also encourage them to do that because the more exercise you do, you're going to be better fit when the baby comes.
Mm-hmm.
And so those, and emotionally, I think the woman who is more physically active, I think that they also are much better.
Mm-hmm. Erin, what type of exercise did you do with when you were pregnant with your little guy?
I think I read in Ina May, it was something like, I walked every day and the baby like almost fell out. And so I was like, okay, I'm going for it. Yeah. So I walked a lot, which was really nice. And just being outside is awesome. A lot of yoga. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of yoga. That was great. Those are my two big ones. And then swimming because it was over the summer.
Well, it's nice, the things that you're mentioning, and doctor, you mentioned this as well, they all seem to be very low impact type of things. So you're already carrying so much more weight.
Yes, especially for the aerobics. Swimming is mm-hmm. great. You have a great buoyancy. Mm-hmm. So you do swimming a lot better.
Now, as far as diet changes, you know, I hear my mom talking a lot about carbohydrates. What's the deal with carbohydrates? Is the idea to bring your carbohydrates down, or is it that carbohydrates have more sugars in them? Or, I mean, do you have to, like, plan your meals around a lower carbohydrate type of level? Or what do women have to do when they have that?
I think it has to do more with the type of carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. There are things like refined sugars, carbohydrates, sweets, candies, cookies, syrups, all those things have a carbohydrate that are pretty much sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You have other things like pasta, dry beans, they have carbohydrates that are not very high in the sugar content, but they're very nutritious, and that's a big difference.
Oh, okay.
So you really want...
So you want like the complex carbohydrates.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want all those simple, refined, and even we don't want moms who have this problem, or even without the diabetes, to be drinking a lot of juices. Juices have some more pure sugar.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Or eating any canned fruits, they have a syrup, or even... Sometimes women come to me in the office and I say, gee, what happened with the weight? I'm eating healthy. I'm eating a lot of fruits. What are you eating? Oranges. And I say, God, they have a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
So we don't think about, we just think about healthy, like fruits is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But being healthy does not mean you eat a lot. Like the oranges have a lot of sugar. Mm-hmm. So you have to be modified.
That makes a lot of sense now. I mean, because my midwife in my last pregnancy, we knew the baby was a little bit bigger, but I chose to go in for the diabetes test. I wasn't diabetic. I just make large children. But she was saying the same thing with my diet. She was like, don't eat so much fruit. You know, take it easy on the fruit, Anne, you know. So focusing a lot more on leafy green vegetables and lean proteins and maybe not so much dairy, but I'm from the dairy states. So I like my cheese. So, yeah. Thanks, Dr. Goicoechea, for joining us today. For more information about our expert and our panelists, visit the episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of our Preggy Pals Club. After the show, Dr. Goicoechea is going to share with us how a diagnosis of gestational diabetes may affect the birth of your baby and what your OB's biggest concern with the diagnosis of gestational diabetes is. To join our club, visit our website, www.preggypals.com.
Hey everyone, it's Sunny. I have not shared my birth story of my twins yet, so I thought I would do so in a segment we like to call 5-Minute Birth Stories. So before I get started, if you guys have a birth story that you're just dying to share with our audience, we would love to hear it. Call our voicemail at 619-866-4775. It's just a voicemail. No one's going to pick up the phone, so don't be freaked out by that. Just leave your story in 5 minutes or less, and we'll play it back on our show. So for my story with the twins, it was pretty crazy because I had in my head all along that I was going to make it to full term for twins, for my type of twin. And that usually only goes to about 38 weeks. They don't let you go much past that because my twins were sharing the same placenta and it can become kind of dangerous after that point. But I really wanted to make it, you know, right up to the 38-week mark. And I thought if I just put it in my head, it was going to happen. And everything was going really well with the pregnancy. I didn't have gestational diabetes, woohoo! And I was just kind of swimming along. And then on the morning of November 11th, I'm taking a shower in the morning and I get out of the shower. This is kind of gross. I'm like, oh boy, because, you know, either I'm peeing myself, which it didn't feel like I had to pee. And I certainly didn't think it was the water from the shower, or my water just broke. Now, I had two waters, keep in mind, because of the twins. They were sharing the same placenta, but in two separate sacks. So, my body's just kind of leaking this fluid. I'm going, what's going on? Because, you know, with my two boys, they had to break my water. Well, my second boy was a C-section, so that's a whole other thing. But with my first, they had to break my water. So my water is never broken naturally. You know, it's not like you see in the movies where, you know, it just kind of comes gushing out. And so I'm sitting there going, should I tell my husband? Because it was Veterans Day, which was good because my husband had the day off. So he's downstairs cooking breakfast for our kids. And I didn't know what to say to him. So I walked down and I just had this look on my face. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I think one of my waters just broke. And he just gave me that look, like, because we had not planned what we were going to do. And again, in my head, I was going to make it to 38 weeks. So my parents were coming into town, and, you know, in a couple weeks, but nothing was ready to go at that time. And so I ended up calling labor and triage and kind of explained to them my symptoms and what was going on. And they said, well, if you think your water broke, we absolutely have to see you. So on my way to the hospital, I started to feel contractions and I thought, oh, this is it. I knew it was. And so we were able to drop off my older children, my two older sons, at our friend's house. And then we went straight to the hospital. And sure enough, you know, they checked me, you know, I'm like 2 or 3 centimeters dilated. And mind you, this was a planned cesarean. So I was at least thinking, you know, I wasn't going to go into labor with this. And I'm like, man, I'm going to have a C-section and I'm in labor. Man, this totally sucks. So, because with my second son, I just had a C-section. That was it. I never went into labor. And so I'm a big wuss when it comes to pain. But probably for the next 2 hours, they were admitting me and doing vitals and getting the, you know, the OR prepped and all this kind of stuff. And I'm in a lot of pain and they didn't give me anything because, you know, I was going to go and get my spinal once I was in there. And so fast forward, and my husband joined me in the OR. Everything went well with the spinal. And the girls were actually born the same minute. Can you believe that? Like, they don't even have their own minute that they were born. But the girls came out great. Baby A was 5 pounds, 5 ounces, and baby B was 5 pounds, 8 ounces. And so another thing I had hoped is that they would get to 6 pounds, but they were still very healthy. They never had to go to the NICU. They were breathing great. And we were able to go home, you know, in about 4 days. So that's my 5-minute birth story.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Parent Savers, for parents with newborns, infants, and toddlers, Twin Talks, for parents of multiples, and The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies. Next week, we're going to be continuing our series on fetal development, moving into the second trimester. What exactly is going on with your baby during months 4 through 6 of your pregnancy? This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy, your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.